praise his name today, Lord Jesus. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. Hallelujah. That really brings it down to each one of us, brother, sister. God didn't set up a church as a denomination, as people would think, but it says the individual to individual. That's why we sing, I love you, Jesus. He doesn't want a collective praise. He wants an individual that pours out their heart to God, that isn't worried about what somebody else is maybe doing, but is so consumed with your love for him that nobody else even is in the picture anymore. And as Paul said, I speak as concerning Christ and the church when it came to a husband and wife. And, you know, it'd be kind of weird if you saw me having eyes at another woman besides my wife. You'd say, yeah, I don't think you really love her. I don't know if she's really all yours. Well, don't let us be found in the same condition when it comes to Jesus. Amen. You know, I appreciate the testimonies. It brings you back, don't it, to those times where, you know, it was the hand of the Lord in your life.
Amen.
Amen. One time Ellie's friend was getting married, and I just drove that car all the way down to Louisiana. And after the wedding, we went to pull out, and sure enough, one of my springs had popped and went right into my tire. Just backing out of the parking lot, just struts, pop, boom, right into the tire, popped it right open. Everybody said, well, what bumped you run over? What did? I didn't. I was backing out of a parking lot at 1 mile an hour, you know. That normally don't happen. Then you think, well, what if that happened at 70 miles an hour, you know. Just, and the Lord knows what he's doing, brother, sister, and we thank him for that. And we thank him even for the trials, even the things we don't think we like. And we thank him for it because we're glad God's got a whole lot better foresight than we do. He knows we need this now, but it'll be all right down the road. Amen. Just need to grow up a little bit, not be little babies about it. And just getting all worked up about the spanking. Why don't we think about what we did wrong and quit doing that? Amen. That's the difference between a man and a child right there. That's what it is. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to diverge a little bit here, not from Abraham, but from where we've been at. Let's turn to Romans 4. We'll start at verse 1 today. Hallelujah. Got to visit with Brother Tom Dillard yesterday a little bit, and brothers, he had an aneurysm, I believe, right? That's what it's called. And he's can't quite talk anymore, can't quite raise his hands, can't quite move around. And I think, you know, we waste our life too much when we have the opportunity to do what we ought to be doing, you know. And I'm now beginning to think, and as fallen creatures, we need these reminders, we need these refreshers. John said at one time, he said, I write these things not because you don't know them, but because you do know them. And you just need to bring it to your remembrance that we got a voice, brother, sister. You might not have it tomorrow. Are you using it for him? You afraid to use it for him? Amen. You got hands, you can raise them. Why don't you use it for the Lord? You got feet, you can move. And amen. And my whole being is to praise the Lord Jesus. That's where it's come down to. And you know what? People are going to think you're crazy. And to them, you are. But they're crazy to me, too. Because I don't know how you can't get excited about salvation and get excited that I don't have a weight of sin on my life anymore. The reason you ain't excited about it is because you still weigh down. Hallelujah. Ooh, I hope that wasn't you. That was one of them hypothetical wees that kind of get a little closer to home quicker than intended. Amen. But hallelujah. I pray that today the Lord have his way in the scriptures. Take this word, and no matter how you came, may you leave better than what you got here today. Amen. God knows what we need today. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then on the upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How is it then reckoned? Was it when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. I'd like to stop there today. Still preaching on Father Abraham today. I'd like to speak this afternoon on this blessedness. This blessedness. Amen. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed, I trust your heart bowed before Him as well. As we approach His Word, would you like to lift the need up to Him with a raised hand? Say, Father, you know the need behind my heart. And I come believing you, Lord, that you'll answer into your Word. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering the saints together today. Thank you, Lord, that there's still a hunger in this world for the things of God, knowing that soon the door of grace be shut, it'll be all, it's over, Lord, and we'll go to be with you. But while the day is still here, while there's still a glimmer of light, help us to work till Jesus come. Help us to be faithful at the post of duty. Help us to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, you that know the hearts of every person that's here, I pray that you'll take the word of life and you'll feed each one of your children the thing they have need of. May you hear their cry from heaven and may you pour out that promise into their life today. Lord, take the word, anoint it with the Holy Spirit, anoint us to receive it, Lord. And may we be changed from the whatever glory we came in, may we come in a higher glory in Christ than before we got here. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Thank you for taking care of us and loving us. And even when we make a mockery of things, Lord, your love still prevails. Your mercy still is new every morning. We thank you for it today. We lift grateful hearts to you, Lord, and praise your holy name. Thank you for bringing us here today. Fulfill your word in our presence, we pray. Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Been really enjoying going through about Abraham and looking at his life and how too many times we get into the New Testament and we tend to forget that these people were mortals, that these people had the same trials that you and I did. I'm glad the Scripture is really careful to note that Elijah himself was a man of like passions like us, brother, sister. Too many times, if you're not careful, the devil will pull you over on a side and get you all isolated. And get you thinking you're the only one. He did it to Elijah just the same. You're the only one who's got this problem. You're the only one who's went through this. And there just ain't no overcoming for you because ain't nobody ever been able to do this before. But see, God went ahead and erased all that when he said he sent his son. He was tempted in every point like you and I, yet without sin. And God let his righteousness be imputed to you. Amen. Abraham was able to find this even before Christ had come, because we understand that in the mind of God it had already come, it already happened, the blood was already there, or man would have been destroyed the day he sinned. But there was an atonement already there waiting on him before his sin. And why do we live in such doubt? It's because we think things are just happening now. But in the eyes of God, they've already happened. In the eyes of God, it's already done, happened, brother, sister. It's just as real as it ever was. It's never changed. And when he knew what you would be, when he knew what you would do, he still chose to die for you. He still chose to redeem you. Amen. And as I opened up with, if that don't excite you, I can't hardly believe your testimony just yet. Because what happens is we read these scriptures here, and instead of it becoming reality, and Brother Ram talks about this many times, too many people just read it and they never ask God to reveal it to them. That what does it really mean? Because many men have probed in this scripture. Many men are good, I think it's called apologetics. They're good at explaining why the scripture makes sense and how we can pull these things together with history and science and all those things. But at the end of the day, that don't mean nothing. You're still going to go home. If you're a sinner, you're still going to go home with the condemnation on your heart that you're not worthy to go to heaven. It ain't none of us worthy, brother, sister, in ourselves. We're not worthy to go there. You're guilty as guilty can be. Hallelujah. And if you don't feel blessedness, I'm going to tell you why. It's because you're seeking it the wrong way. Too many times people go to church to get blessed. Just to get blessed and to get a blessing and to go home feeling good and appeasing their flesh, which is what's really their problem. Hallelujah. And you know what? God allows our flesh to feel good. I thank Him for that. I'm glad I'm feeling good today. I'm glad I got good health. I don't take it for granted. I've learned that a long time ago, Brother Kent. You don't take good health for granted because God will give you a trial to that way. That's right, because what happens is you get too stagnant too many times, and God's got to come stir you back up a little bit and get you back to where you recognize there's a dying world out there. Well, you know, sometimes, even myself, and I don't mean to brag or none, I thank God for His grace. I don't get sick too often. I don't have big sickness. My wife's almost jealous of me sometimes. She said, "You don't never get sick. You don't." Well, I'm just tired of giving the devil credit. That's all I got to say. I'm just tired of, but even if I am sick, I don't care. I don't want to give him no praise. I gave the devil enough praise all the years of my life. He don't need no more praise out of my life. I'm ready to give it to the Lord Jesus. But really, when it's all done, you can get desensitized to sickness. And as Brother Branham said, if you go to pray for someone and you can't feel their infirmity, there ain't no point in praying. That happens to us Christians when we want to pray for somebody to get saved. And we tend to forget what it was like before we got saved. And the desperateness that hit our hearts when we finally got a revelation that if I die today, I don't have salvation. If I die today, I'll wake up in a pit of sin in the realms of the lost with no redemption back. And until you can receive that in your sinful condition, you'll never receive the remedy because you won't be desperate enough. If your salvation is stuck up here and it's just a good idea, you've never received it yet, brother, sister, because a man that's received it, he's got joy unspeakable. He's got full of glory. He goes through the just like Job, the pit of life, the hell on earth. Amen. Yet still lifts it up his voice and say, "You talk like a foolish one. I ain't here to curse God and die. The Lord gave, Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. We're looking too many times for blessings, and we need to start looking for blessedness. And I'll get to what that is for a little bit, but it don't matter what it is if you don't know how to get there. And if you look at everything down this whole scripture, deals with one concept, and that's faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
And faith is more than what the denomination tell you. Faith is not the magic trick that the atheist will tell you it is. The Bible says faith is a substance. It's a substance of things hoped for. And God has placed that into the heart of every believer. That's the predestination of God. There's a seed of faith there that God put there that could live. And even before you're circumcised, even before you'd even receive the Holy Ghost or be born again, it was laying there. Even before Abraham was ever circumcised, even before he got the seal, the Bible says he already had the faith he needed. God, it ain't happening. It's done happening. Glory to God. Brother Branham says this out of Identification, 1963. He says, "Then it's a spiritual revelation of who Jesus Christ is." It's exactly, he said, "Upon this rock, upon the spiritual revelation, I will build my church." It showed all the gates of hell would be against it, but they shall not prevail against it. See, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against this church. So you see, Noah had a spiritual revelation. God had directly spoke to him. When Cain offered the fruits of the field as apples and the fruits and so forth and made his altar pretty, he said, "God will accept this because I've done all this and I've fixed the great altars and I've decorated, I've made it pretty. We got a bigger church in the city and so forth. God will accept it in this. He accepts the work of no man's hands in redemption."
Amen.
Now, once that becomes a reality to us, that throws legalism right out the window. That throws you, the roller coaster goes away when you finally get out of it. Because as long as you're in it, you're going to be up, down, up, down, up, down. Some of us just down, 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 down. One good service up, get blessed. Down, because we didn't get blessed. I'll get there in a minute. Let me keep reading. He says, "But Abel brought a lamb and offered blood, and God testified that he was righteous. How did he know it? There was no written word in them days. Think of that for a minute. Whew. There was no word written in them days. It was a revelation, and so is it today. Amen. You say, well, I belong to church. My good is just as good as your church. They're both made out of the same kind of building, same kind of materials. Sure. That's right. The building has nothing to do with it. Organizations, a group of men who gets together. Oh, I can't skip that. Oh, I can't dance here. There's too many, not enough room. I can't shout. I might knock something over. The building had nothing to do with it. You just need to get a little bit more joy on the inside. So we'll go ahead and spread out. You know what happened? We'll get twice as dead. Because you're getting carnal about it. If your worship is all mechanics and doing, you missed it anyways. If it's not your heart being poured out to God, that's why I don't tell people how to worship. The main thing is do it. Amen. And nobody worships sitting there looking back at the, well, it'd be this way, right? And calculating, well, he's been preaching 15 minutes. I probably got an hour. If I can just make it through. See, we're just surviving church. And again, as I was with Brother Tom yesterday, it really burned on my heart. These are privileges, brother, sister. And you can get up. You can put your clothes on. You can get in a car. You can drive here. You can give praise to God. You can lift your voices. You can lift your hands. You can give shouts of praise that people can't do that want to. Amen. I don't want, and the Bible says, you know, they tried to quiet down his disciples one time, and he said, if these shut their mouths, I got some rocks over there going to scream out the glory of God. Why? Because all things were made by him and for him. Everything was made was for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me keep reading. The building has nothing to do with it. Organization is a group of men who gets together, makes up a decalogue of what they stand for, and that's it. Nothing against that. That's all right. But that ain't what I'm talking about. You wear the same kind of clothes, maybe if they're decent, what other believers would do, and still that doesn't make it. That needs to get in our message a little bit. I don't care if you got dresses on and wearing long hair and men's shape up. That ain't what we're talking about. In too many years, that's all the message was to most folks. But now we're getting to the point where you can't fake it no more. You either believe this or you don't. Because even as the Bible says, he that hath will more be given, but he that hath not shall be taken away even that what he thought he had. Amen. So even the religion that they tried to fake for a while, there came a day when Judas couldn't fake it no more. There came a day where he couldn't walk with it no more, and he had to go manifest what he was. And he was just a deceiver. He was just the Antichrist sitting right in the church the whole time. And we're in a day right now where them spirits are coming to full fruition to where if you're a hypocrite, I'm sorry, you're just going to be that. You can't fake it no longer. You're either going to become a saint or son of God, or you're going to become a denominational buzzard, go down regions of the lost. That's all there is to it. There is no middle ground, brother, sister. When you're presented with truth, you've got a choice. You're the one that chooses that. Amen. Well, God had to choose me first. That's right, but the reason he chose you, it's because he knew you'd choose him. Right. It goes hand in hand. Don't you try to turn around and blame God that you can't accept it. Bible done tore that one down. He says, what kind of clay turns around back to the former and say, hey, why are you making me this way? Any of you ask your wood, why is it getting cut that way? And why are you nailing it up that way? And why does it talk back to you and say, I don't think we ought to do it that way? That's how stupid you look trying to tell God how to run his program. Well, I know the Bible says that, but well, there you go again. Clay, shut up. Let the master form you. Yeah. I'm not afraid to say shut up. Sometimes that's the way we need to hear it. Yeah. Take your mouth and shut it up and just leave it that way. Amen. You don't even need to just be quiet, because then you might still whisper your unbelief. You need to just shut it all the way up, close the hatch, and let the unbelief not go nowhere. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's not politically correct. I'm glad it's scripturally correct. That's right. Never mind. Let's just keep going. He says, that ain't what I'm talking about. You wear the same kind of clothes, maybe if they're decent, what other believers do, and still that doesn't make it. But now looky here. He says, what is it? It's the spiritual revelation of the Word of God that everything else is wrong but that Word. And you believe it. He was the Word, and He is the Word, and He will always be the Word. And when God can open that channel, then He can flow freely through that sanctified body. Glory to God. So why are you talking about that, Brother Andrew? Because until Abraham had the revelation that he was truly a son of God, he never could serve God the way he was supposed to. He kept getting caught and getting scared and working in fear and selling off his wife, calling her his sister. That's right. Making a mockery of what he was trying to believe. And we've all done the same thing. There's plenty of times you look in the mirror and say, my goodness, Lord, am I really the believer in this day? People look at me and think, this is what it's all about. But you can't go change it. Remember, Brother Branham had I think it was a Methodist minister or something. He said he came and he's come to the truth. And he said, do I need to go back? And because I preached all them years, stuff that I know is wrong. Now, should I go back and fix that all up? He said, you can't do that. When are you going to stop? He said, God knew that you didn't know it at that time. And you got to just let it go and just go serve the Lord. Amen. That's the same thing Abraham did. I love that's the, and it's the same with Samson. When you go back and look at Samson's life and how the Bible commends him for his faith. And many times people think that's because he's a mighty warrior, but you look at how he could just pick up faith like nothing. Here he is, getting chained up by his own people. He said, don't break my heart. You're going to do this to me? He said, we're selling you off. We ain't got no room for this. This is making us lose our jobs. This doctrine you're teaching is making me lose all my friends. We're going to sell you back off, buddy. That's right. They got rid of Brother Branham the same way. And he put up and said, don't chain me up yourself. Come on. But that didn't stop the power of God. He said, well, if I'm here by myself, I guess I'll serve him by myself. He broke them like they were, I think the Bible says, flax. He said, I don't know what to kill these guys with. Nobody gave me a sword up here, and he found a jawbone. That'll do. Right. Why? Because he's such a man of faith. Hallelujah. And Abraham done the same thing. He made a mistake, but watch him just pick it right back up, take the mantle of the word back on, and say, why? Because even though I might be wrong, the word isn't. And the word told me I'm having a son. The word told me I was a father of many nations. And the word's coming this day. And I just called you a father of many nations. But you're Abraham's seed. You're the one that will conquer the gates of your enemy. Hallelujah to where the devil has no foothold anymore. And I believe that's our predestinated position. Our predestinated location is to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus with all principality and powers under our feet. Amen. Brother Brad said, a man or woman, can you live so close to God the devil don't know what to do with him? Amen. You found Job. That's what he did. And Job couldn't even receive the same blessing we have today. Yeah, he was smart enough. That's true. That's real intelligence. And saying the word's still right. Look, and that's what he even got too legalistic on himself towards the end there, because he said, I have obeyed this word. I know it's right. I know God can't judge me because I'm behind the sacrifice. And after a while, he said, well, why is all this happening? And we think we got a right to complain. We got a right to talk about how bad it was. Even Job didn't get a right. Because the second the whirlwind came, right, and he had to finally stand in the presence of the real one that would judge him, he said, I've uttered foolish things. I should just go ahead and kept this thing shut all the time. Right. Amen, that's right. You might hide behind you hide away from a preacher or from the tapes or from the what you think's the word, but one day, you have to come in presence of that one that will judge you whether you're righteous or not. Amen. That's right. And at that point, your mouth will close. You won't be able to come up with an excuse because he'll done already showed you that you're wrong and every time. Amen. That's why the Bible says don't judge nothing before the time, because there'll come a day when light will shine. And even the things you thought you hid so well, said those things will pop right up. And you say, yep, that's right. I'm completely guilty. Yeah, even when I did. Even when I did help that guy on the street, I was just doing it so I could feel good about myself. How are you going to lie to him? He knows you in and out, up and down. Hallelujah. We're going to need to find somewhere to go. Amen. I'm going to tell you where it is. It's out of unbelief and into faith. It's into unadulterated faith in the Word of God, that I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I think. I don't care what anybody else is doing. God told me the truth, and that's what I believe. I, even in the midst of myself, even in the midst of my unbelief, it's still true nonetheless. We need more people just to be honest, be able to lift up their hands like that father did, who I think he had a lunatic son, and he said, Lord, if you can, help us. He said, I will. He said, help my unbelief, Lord. Amen. Because I know I believe it, but I just feel this atmosphere of unbelief all around me. Help my unbelief. Amen. I'm here to tell you, he was faithful. Yes, he did help his unbelief. Why? He got his son healed. Yes, amen. Glory to God. Listen now. A visible union of the bride of Christ, 1965. Neither can you bear God's sons of his word to this illegitimate denominational group. You cannot do it. You got a little time. I got some longer quotes today. In your incubator, you cannot bring forth a word son of God. I'm speaking to the church. But you could still claim to be very religious. So was Cain, the prostitute Eve's son. Very religious. built altars and offered sacrifice and paid his tithes, done everything that any religious man would do. But he failed to keep that word. He failed to have the revelation. And the revelation is the only thing, the revelation of the word. What is a revelation? Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Faith is a revelation because faith has been revealed to you.
Amen.
Abel, by faith, offered by revelation, faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Cain thought they eat apples. They still got that idea. But it wasn't. It was adultery, serpent seed. And there, when the seven seals opened, it declared it and proved it. That's right. You pull back those seals, I'm telling you, it shows the Antichrist was all the way back in the beginning, and it exposed him all the way from the garden to the end time. Why? Because in God's eyes, it already happened, so God just had to show you and write the script out for you. Amen. And why did he do all that? All that backloading was to prepare you for that end time.
Amen.
But he's already told us how it's going to be, brother, sister. That's why I don't worry about elections. That's why I don't worry about Russia. That's why I don't worry about China. I don't worry about the Middle East. I know where it's all heading already.
Right. Amen.
It was laying right there in the book of Revelations, but it took a prophet of God to come and to be able to pull that word out and to give it to us so we could actually understand it. Amen. You can't have real faith without real revelation. And too many times we use the word revelation as a way of information. Many people think if they just learn enough that that's what revelation is. Revelation has nothing to do with information at all. Because revelation actually bypasses your information. Revelation actually taps into something that you don't even understand yourself. And it gets to a source that actually holds you and grips you to the Word of God. To where when you're sicker than a dog, ready to throw up all over the place, something rises up and says, I feel great.
Amen.
When everything looks around you like, I'm a sinner. I must be, like Job did, I must be a secret sinner. There must be something wrong. Something grips you and says, it can't be it.
Amen.
I'm a son of God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, somebody get this blessed assurance today. Amen. It goes hand in hand, brother, sister. You've got to have revelation from God. That's why we got to pray for it now more than ever. Because the devil's, what is his tactic to get you away from revelation? I'll read it here in a minute, is information. Why do you think we have an age of so much information? Because if you go, I guarantee it, I don't mean to challenge you, but it's true. You go and start just searching stuff and just reading anything of the world. Read it long enough. Stay out of the Word long enough. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Your whole mind's going to get all mixed up. Because it's going to start taking you to realms where you know you can't really explain. So before anything was, He was. Alone. Nothing. Just Him. Always. Never started. Can't end. He doesn't have new thoughts. Then how did time even get going in the first place? You know, and you start, how does this even work? So he knew the end from the beginning, but he still enjoys it when it happens. He already knew all about it, but he's not bored to death sitting twiddling his thumbs. See, it takes you to a, and before that, I was there, but I don't remember. But I'm going to go and be eternal, but yeah, I'm going to, see what I'm saying, brother, sis? And then what happened is the devil, all he does is interject that one little bit of unbelief in your reasoning. And then because of that unbelief, it starts penetrating. And it starts pushing away even the things that you know are true. And before you know it, you'll be an atheist like anyone else. God has sent His Word. God has brought up a wall against that reasoning, brother, sister. And it is the revelation of His Word. That's right. Amen. Let me keep reading. It says, at the end time, both trees are coming to the seed and proving themselves. Here we are right today. Laodicea and the bride. Just as clear and pretty as it can be in the Scriptures and right before your faces. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't be a virtuous Bible-believing Christian and associate yourself in the denominational affair. You just can't do it at the same time. One has got to be dead and the other one alive. Life. Excuse me. There we go. Neither can you bear God's word, son. Neither can the church bring forth. They don't want one of them screaming children, shouting, speaking in tongues and all them things.
Sure.
You can't do that in the denominational church. They won't have you. They don't bring them like that. They take them up and shake their hands and say, if you believe, you got it. And as long as you put your name on the book, that's all you have to do. See, it's illegitimate children to the word. still claim to be religion. So impregnated with Satan's wisdom and knowledge, the church has become. They send their people away to school to learn how to say amen just right. They learn them how to say all this and to be very intellectual. What is it? The pregnation of the devil. What does Satan pregnate Eve with? To disbelieve the word for intellectuals. And it ruined the whole creation. That's exactly what he's done in the Word today. The church, she's pregnant herself with Bible schools and colleges and things like that, reading, writing, arithmetic, and they know no more about God than a Hottentot would know about an Egyptian knight. They know all their creed, their prayer books, everything else, but know nothing about God. This is where it comes home to us, brother, sister. I'll come back to my scripture here in a minute. This comes home to us in the message because if we aren't really born again of the Spirit of God, if we haven't really received the Holy Ghost, though you have the revealed word of your day, you will do the same thing that these men have done in all ages. If the seed you're pregnated with is not the original word, even though the original word comes, you'll taint the whole thing. They did it with Jesus. Remember, the Pharisees came and they kept bringing the word. And after they got tired of bringing it to Jesus because he always outdo them, they decided to go fight amongst themselves. And they went and fought and said, you look it up. You go find the quotes. No prophet comes from Nazareth. No prophet comes from Galilee. What's Bethlehem? It's supposed to be Bethlehem. Why is he from Nazareth? And they did. They bucked heads about that. Paul did the same thing one time when he was getting in trouble with some Pharisees and he noticed that there were Pharisees and Sadducees out there. He says, well, for the resurrection, am I called into question? Knowing that these guys held the resurrection and these ones didn't, both using the same Bible. And it caused enough ruckus, he was able to get on out of there. Hallelujah. See, sometimes God will let you go ahead and preach that word just on the side that they like because he wants to be able to bless them to get you out of trouble. That's true, brother, sister. Many people have stood in the gap for me that don't really believe this. I believe they'll have a reward at the end. I do. Amen. Why? Because I know who I am. Actually, more than that, I know who he is. And I know if you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it under Jesus. You've got to know that you're a child of God, or you can't even recognize that promise for someone else. See, when it came to the judgment, remember before that, it says that he said that to the group, and he had already separated the sheep from the goats. He says, but this group, he says, I was in prison, you didn't visit me, I was naked, you didn't clothe me, you didn't do none of this for me. He says, when did we do it? When you didn't do it to one of the least of these. Then he turned to this group, and he said, but you did do that, you did visit me. He said, when did we do it? See, they had no revelation. They weren't even doing it. But there was a group of brethren who knew everything that he was doing. There was someone already on the throne that already knew the end from the beginning. That these ones were just picking it up right now. These ones that'll come out of the tribulation. See, don't fight them people. The pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, it's both. Just the bride gets out before it. And church has to walk on through it. That's right. That's the truth. Otherwise, it is. It's totally contradictory. You'll be able to pull out where it goes through and where it don't. Where it goes through, where it don't. Where it goes through, where it don't. Unless you think Esau or Enoch's a believer, but Noah wasn't. Oh my, we're hitting right there. Lot was a righteous man. Sure was. Bible says he was. It said he had a righteous soul. And I'm pretty sure that's the only part that really matters at the end of the day. You got a righteous soul. But what was the difference? One was elected. One was foreordained. One was chosen by God. And one had a righteousness that God accepted after the judgment. I don't want nothing to do with the judgment. Like Brother Branham said, cut me open, fill me with sulfur, and set me on fire. Don't let me go to the white throne judgment. Amen. Whoo, glory. Now, what are we talking about today? Is blessedness. And as I said before, too many times we change that into blessing. We change that as being blessed. And we don't recognize that those will come and go, brother, sister. Oh, the blessings of God, even the prophet himself. There was one time I remember a minister said he went over there and he was sitting on his porch wondering if he was called to the ministry or not. He said, I just ain't doing nothing for the Lord. I just sit. See, sometimes you don't feel the blessing. But I ain't talking about just feeling blessed. Because if that's your salvation, you know what? You're saved one day and you won't be the next. That's right. That ain't what I'm talking about. That ain't what Abraham had. Had Abraham had that, he would have cracked under the pressure. He would have leaned his tent towards Sodom like like Lot did. He would have sold off his wife and never worried about it. But God knew, I've ordained that man. I need him for my promise. Amen. You wonder why you haven't train wrecked your life, why you haven't got to the point where God can't deal with you? It's because he knew he needed you. Amen. Whoo, glory. And he ordained it to you. This is real blessedness, brother, sister. Amen. So I went and I found the definition of blessedness, at least out of the dictionary. And it says the state of being blessed with divine favor.
Oh my.
Whew, glory. Not are you just blessed because you feel his presence and you feel, you know, a little bit of joy. No, you recognize you have divine favor.
Amen.
And I thought that was pretty good. So I was like, I got to look up Strong's real quick. We'll see what that's got to say about this. And it comes from a Greek word. Let's see if I can say this. Makarismos, which means blessedness. It says the condition. So the state, the declaration of receiving eternal benefits from God. Now listen, it says that is explained a little bit further. It says are lasting with eternal advantage. The Greek word literally means long extended. So there's none of this coming and going with it at all. This is the blessedness of a man who's recognized the full extent of what Calvary means to them. It's the full extent that David described. It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The Lord holding sin, man, he just won't put it on him. What does he do? He takes it upon himself. And he died for it. That's right, brother, sister. And you're a benefactor of that today. You're a blessed man. You're in a state of blessedness, divine favor placed on you by amazing grace. Why can't I find joy then, brother? Because you're not seeking it by faith. Said, I don't feel that way. That don't have nothing to do with it. Do you believe it? Then reach up and say, Lord, that's mine. That sin I did before church, it's not there.
Amen.
Oh, only five of you believe that. Some of you hold on to sin for a week, don't you? That's your penance you got to do before the Lord, and then you can be. Some of you believe that. God don't. God don't believe it that way. His mercy is new every morning. And I've explained it a few times. I'm just going to do it again. This is so good to me. The mercy is new every day. When somebody does you wrong, it's the first time. You speed the first time the cop knows you've never been pulled over for. Said, officer, I was sorry. I was distracted. I was looking at something, thinking about something. Got talking and putting the pedal down a little bit further than normal. Got to set my cruise control. He said, you know what? First time. See, that's new mercy. All right, we'll let you slide. It's all right. It's new. Well, say you do that every day. What begins to happen to that mercy? It gets a little old. We talk about getting old, right? This is getting old. I'm tired of dealing with this. This is old. Why? It's because it happens over and over and over again. But even though it happens over and over, and you fail tomorrow, and you fail the next day, and you didn't pray like you're supposed to, whatever, you put it on the list, brother, sister. What happens? Mercy never gets old. Can you approach him that way? The only way you can is by real faith. And say, Lord, it don't even make sense to me up here why you'd forgive me again. I knew better, and I did it anyways. Lord, why would you forgive me again? The Bible says your mercy is due today. And I ask the blood over my life again. Hallelujah. Amen. Many people think the blood is what actually saves, but it's actually faith that is the access to what the blood's power is.
Amen.
Because without faith, the same blood that died, it died for the whole world, brother. So that blood was shed. I think it was Paul said, he said the blood was shed for our sins and the sins of the entire world. Then why are people going to hell? It's because there's no faith in them to access the power of that blood and to bring it to their lives.
Amen.
But you believers, that was already put there. That seed of faith is already there.
Sure. Amen.
And you can't be condemned. Oh, glory to God. And all of a sudden, scriptures start making sense. When 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called heirs of eternity. Heirs of Godship. That's right, brother, sister. He said he created them to be gods on the earth. If a duck has a child, it's a duck. If a giraffe has a child, it's a giraffe. That's why evolution is trash, because it ain't never done that. So when God had a son, don't believe in some evolution now. Still a God. Didn't get changed a little bit.
didn't adapt a little bit for the situation. It's predestinated, and God makes it the way it's supposed to be. That's why, man, even in his fallen state, still a creator. Oh, yeah, he is.
Absolutely.
All this stuff, everything that we enjoy, technology and stuff, all of that material has been here all the time. Then why didn't they have all this stuff 1,000 years ago? Oh, at this point, 100 years ago. About 95% of our lives didn't exist 100 years ago. So I'm 100% because you're just... God help us, but hallelujah. Brother, sister, at the end of the day, I don't care if I even feel blessings. I don't even care if I feel blessed as we tend to say it. I want to know that I got blessedness.
Amen.
That I can go, I can wake up in the morning and know my sins are forgiven. I have been justified because I believe the Lord. Now, how do you know that you're saved? Is because there's a witness comes back, brother, sister. Abraham already had the faith, but God still gave him a witness and said, I want you to do one thing just for you. Just so you know that this really did happen, I'll let you look like you had some part in it.
Yeah.
You know what he asked you to do?
Yeah.
Repent.
Yeah.
Get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it looks like you did something, but really he's already done did it. And House of Cornelius proved you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
He gave the Holy Ghost just because they believed it. That's right, brother, sister. This whole excuse of not being able to have the power and joy of God, it just shows you not. You just ain't got the faith you need to have yet. Because the faith of God says it's true no matter what anyone else says. I don't care what ministry you've got to sit under. If you're a real believer, it don't matter if the whole church under Saul won't tackle Goliath. You'll be able to find some strength somewhere. You don't know where it's coming from. I'll tell you where it came from. It came from your own personal experience in your own prayer closet. You're able to take that stone and say, I don't care what you do. I don't care about your unbelief. I still got faith. Bring them on.
Yeah.
So God killed a lion for me. Picture that.
Yeah.
Saul said, you're a little boy. And he said, I've tore a lion with my own hands.
Yeah.
How'd he kill him? I don't know. But he did it.
Yeah.
And then I think a lion's pretty impressive. But I don't know. A bear might be right up there, brother, sister. And bears are fast. Looked it up the other day, and they're not too much slower than a horse. I think it was 30-something miles an hour. Just to help you out, who's the Usain Bolt? That's right. He ran like, I think, 27 miles an hour. And a bear runs about 35 and weighs a ton. Or half a ton or whatever. Just, poof, you're gone. That's right. And they climb trees. You're done. That's right. It shows it wasn't David's strength. It wasn't David reasoning at all. Reasoning would have told him what most of us would have done.
Yeah.
Run!
Yeah.
But something stirred. Why? God had placed something in David. I need David to be a king one day.
Uh-huh.
And I need David to be a real king. What's a real king? Not one that counts numbers and said, I hope we do all right. One that counts down to the very last one. Says, where is he?
Yeah.
We lost one man. Where is he? Just like Joshua. Hey, we just lost a battle. Where's those? We lost 16 guys?
Yeah.
It's unacceptable.
No. Amen.
Stop the church. Stop everything. Stop the program. Stop all. It's time to fast and pray and figure out what's wrong.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's time for the pastor to get up and go ahead and talk about it.
Amen.
We don't like that, do we? I've learned everybody loves sin getting preached against. They won't say it, but they do, as long as they ain't doing it.
Right.
Hammer it, brother. Come on, brother. Preach hard.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden it's down their aisle and they're like, well, maybe not that hard. We still believe in grace around here. Or the that's my brother excuse. And look, this is going to get real serious real quick. We know the only means of salvation. That's right. I don't care how good a man was, you think he was, how bad he was. If you don't have this blessedness and he goes the way of the grave, look, we have to admit it. Or we're either hypocrites that they ain't going to be there. That's a hard thing to say. And all of a sudden, it becomes our buddy that we had at work, and the story changes.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll see him again. Oh, come on, brother, sister. Stay consistent with the Word.
Sure.
Look, that's the gravity. That's why when John took the Word in the book of Revelation, it says he ate it. And it says, oh, sweet as honey. Oh, it tastes so good, didn't it?
Yeah.
Even this sermon probably feels like this, right? It tastes so good. It said, then it hits your belly. What do you mean? You begin to digest it. And think of the real weight of what we're saying. Salvation is the most glorious thing that's ever been existent. It's the most glorious thing any man could experience. It outshines any pleasures of the world a million times over. They looked pretty excited when the Cubbies won the World Series here last week, but that ain't nothing to a man who's really received salvation. Why? In a week from now, nobody will care anymore, but eternity will proclaim you as a son or daughter of God.
Oh, praise your name, Father.
Hallelujah. But at the same time, for someone to turn down salvation, it's the most grave decision a man could ever make. No, there's no despair that even surmounts to it, much less any sort of torment. Just imagine being lost with no means of being found. You can't go there. This is what I'm talking about, how the atheists will come in and say, oh, that's just, that no righteous judge would do that. Well, if you recognize that region was really made for the devil, then you understand why it's so severe. Because God doesn't just, you know, get on a murderer because he murdered one time. He recognized the devil that did it. He recognized the devil behind every lie, behind every adultery, behind every abortion, behind every drug addict, behind all these. He knows that it all goes back to one being. God's right-hand man. Biggest hypocrite there ever was. He's the source of all hypocrisy. And he's guilty of every single action. Do you think that deserves a severe punishment? Absolutely it does. But man will bust through, huddle over, ignore every warning sign God puts in their way to get there as fast as possible. Hallelujah. Whew. That's why when it's all said and done, brother, sister, I don't believe in playing church. I don't believe in just having, well, as long as we all feel good, that was a successful service. I'm not interested in that. Even here recently, God's just really poured on my heart. Look, he's called me to be your pastor. You're the ones I care about. When it comes down to the ministry, it don't matter if we don't have big rallies and we don't have big meetings and I'm not a big name and we don't have fellowship as much as we'd like to. Those are all fine. Those are all great. I'm not speaking against that. What I'm saying, though, is what I want to know is that I've used my voice for some reason to drive one soul into the kingdom of God, to where no matter where they go, no matter if they're in my church or they leave, I know one day they'll be there. And brother, sister, as ministers, it is a greater weight. I've not been a minister at one time. It is a greater weight. I understand that. But the weight's still on every one of us.
Amen.
That your life as a Christian reflects the reality of God's Word in this day. Not the figment, the reality of God's Word. That it's the only thing that's really true and really happening.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when it's all said and done, we don't want to just bring people to church. We don't want to bring them to an idea. We want them to be able to find themselves in the arms of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That is blessedness that I speak of today.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let me read you a few quotes. Stay with me now. As the eagle stirs her nest, 1961, I want him, that's Jesus now, I want him to have all of me. I don't know all the theologies and the deologies and the PH, HHDs, and QUDs. Only thing I know, he's got all of me wrapped up in here. That's all I care for. As long as I know that his Spirit has wrapped me up into his mercy and goodness, nothing I try to merit, nothing I could merit, nothing I could do, nothing in my arms to bring simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, take all of me. That's the way. Coming down a little bit, Brother Bram's, or actually different sermon. The Great and Mighty Conqueror, 1957. One time, as a little boy, I used to think that Christ loved me and God hated me because that Christ died for me and God had something against me. But I come to find out that Christ is the very heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Turn with me. It should be right there. Romans 5. It's on the same page as mine. Verse 6. I'll bring this to a close. Romans 5. Excuse me. Verse 6. I hope this brings a real reality to you of the Scriptures. For when we were yet without strength, In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, brother, you don't know how bad I am. You know how he died. I know you're ungodly, but he died for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
This is why you watch Paul. He comes to the Galatians and he just reams them over the coals about them trying to bring legalism back into the church. Now you see why. It's because he's trying to. They were trying to use their works to take away this truth that before, when you were a sinner, when you were wrong and unholy and all these evil things, that's when Christ died for you.
Amen.
And his love doesn't diminish the more you get like him. It only grows, brother, sister. And in one sense, it never grows. It's infinite. His love for you has always been consistent. And it's such an overflowing. Just imagine you trying to love your child anywhere close to the love of God. You can't get there, brother, sister. And if you wouldn't condemn your own child, how could God condemn you?
Amen.
While we were in sin, while Abraham was in uncircumcision, he already had the faith he needed to be what God ordained him to be.
Sure, amen.
Hallelujah. So what has to happen to us, brother, sister? We've got, I'm just going to read, I'm going to close on this. It's coming out of the token. He says, now you are guilty. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You in the flesh, you're guilty. We're all guilty. That's right. And if he said, you're guilty. And you would hunt the best attorney that you could find to plead your case. And if I was going to the judgment of God, I don't want no priest. I don't want no man. I want the best attorney I can find to plead my case. Let me say this to you, my Christian friend. Our attorney is also our judge.
Amen.
And our judge became our attorney. The case is settled when we receive his pardon. Hallelujah. The judge himself came down and became the attorney. And the attorney and judge is the same person. God become man that he might justify man by his own death that he placed upon him. Hallelujah! That means praise our God. He deserves all praises. Our judge and our eternity, attorney is the same person. The Holy Ghost is the token that we have been pardoned. The case is closed.
Amen. Sure.
You ever heard us? Jesus dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges. Case dismissed. Case dismissed. Saved by grace.
Amen.
Not by works. Not by what I am. Not what I do tomorrow. Not what I did the last 20 years of my life. But by his amazing grace, he chose. The Almighty God chose to become a man like me. Chose to pay the penalty. We act like God didn't acknowledge it. He acknowledged your sin. And he put it on him. Oh, glory. And now twisting his arm willingly. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll die for you. Why? Even though I'm the judge, I'll stand in your corner and be the attorney. You know what would happen if there was a court trial and one of the judges was actually the attorney? The attorney? They'd throw the case out. They say, that's cheating. They say, that's a rigged trial. Woo, glory.
Amen.
And the devil will say it's rigged against you, but I hate to tell you, it's rigged for you. Woo, glory.
Oh, I love you, Father.
That might be a rude way of saying that, but
thank you, Jesus.
Brother, sister, I hate to, it's over, it's done. The devil, they're playing chess, but God's already done won the game. He just played them on, said, yeah, go ahead and move there. I knew what you were going to do. I'm going to go here. Oh, I never thought of that. That's right, devil, you're always one step behind. Woo, glory. And he thinks he's got you. He thinks he can keep you out of the truth. But here come the word, and it comes after you. Pulls you right back in.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Says, you can't take that one. That one's mine. Case is closed.
Yes,
but they did this. Case closed. What's the point? You just imagine an attorney getting back up after he says, case dismissed. You know, you're innocent. He says, but wait, Your Honor. He said, what are you talking about? Shut up. You had your opportunity.
Yeah.
And God has allowed the devil thousands of years to accuse the brethren.
Uh-huh.
And the verdict still came out. Innocent.
Yeah.
He's bringing evidence, brothers. Don't get me wrong. It's there.
Yeah.
You better acknowledge it and just let the blood take it.
Amen.
See, don't try to access this blessedness through theology. You can't, because you'll go back to that list of sins that the devil has.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got, and this ain't nothing. That was just 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
He can roll it down the aisle, around the corner. He's got them. And if you try to play the devil's game and check off some of those, right? Oh, I did that one better. I did that one better. He's got it all rolled. He's got plenty more. You ain't never going to get caught up. But there's someone who rolled the whole scroll up. All of time. Pulled it all together and wrote the word with his own blood. Wrote pardoned over the top of it. And threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. Whew, glory. How do I know the tokens come to my life? Let me finish that quote and then I'll finish service today. Holy Ghost is the token that we have been pardoned. The case is closed. To every man or woman that truly has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he has been tried. He is identified with his eternity, attorney, with his judge, with his sacrifice. And the token he holds is his possession shows that his trip is paid to glory. Amen. It's all over. He holds that token. It's his. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Do you believe it? That's your identification. You're holding the token.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said many times, he said, I could not preach the token until after the seals were open. Why? There had to be a day. The faith we have to have in this day, it's true. It has to be greater than any age that's ever been here. Other ages would have to, be able to have enough faith to lay their life down. Other ages, they'd have to deal with, the white horse, maybe some doctrinal things. But we're in an age now where everything the devil has access to is unleashed against us. And we don't have to just get the victory enough to go down in faith, but we got to have victory enough to tell this body to go up in faith.
Amen.
Be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And Brother Bram said the rapture is just another revelation. So that word doesn't need to be foreign to us. If we don't have access to revelation, how are you going to access the rapture when it is a revelation?
Amen.
And I know it's going to, see, anytime I see somebody going down to explain the rapture intellectually, I know they're done missing it. Because it's just like any other revelation. You think about it, maybe. You might think about it. You might say it 100 times. You might read it in the scripture a billion times. But then revelation, and she goes, oh, yeah, that's it.
Amen.
That's easy. That makes perfect sense. It's the same when you want to get right with the Lord. You know, I remember being on the hamster wheel of sin. No, I just need to do this. I just need to do this. And then eventually I'll get. You never get saved that way. It's when you get down and say, you know what? I can't do this.
Right.
I can't. Lord, I'm as guilty can be. I'm the worst. I'm the epitome of darkness. But I'm the chief of sinners.
Right.
Some of you think, well, I'm not too bad. Well, that's why you ain't saved yet.
Right.
That's all there is to it. I'm the chief of sinners. I remember getting on my best side. I said, Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. I can't do this. I don't want to be like this. See, there's the first step. I hate this. I hate the wretch that I am. I hate these things that I'm doing wrong. And I've tried to do it with my own power, and it just doesn't work. Lord, I'm here to die. May you raise me up anew. That's when he comes on the scene. And that's why all these other things, I went to church finally. I finally paid my tithes. I finally read my Bible. See, that's you're missing it. That's all stuff you do after you get saved. That's right. That's stuff you're supposed to do because you are saved. Because
right.
Until then, it ain't accepted before God.
That's right.
Oh, man, them men came. I'm trying to close. But them men came and, man, they make us look like paupers. They were just dumping the money in the offering. And they made sure everybody saw. Made sure when they got that checkbook out, they flashed it real big. And just give them an offering today. That's right. But what did Jesus say? He said, they ain't gave nothing. Why? Does God need our money? Of course he doesn't. Does God even really need us in the direct sense? Not at all. He's God Almighty. Deal with himself. He doesn't need anybody's hand. You tell me how he created the world, and I'll tell you how much help God needs from you. That's right. But what does he want? He wants you to show that you love him and you want to invest your heart into what you're doing. You're doing it because you love him, and that's why you were created. And then a little widow woman came up. Didn't think she probably wasn't much in the church. She probably wasn't. Probably didn't mean her a whole lot. She had two little pennies, we'll say, two little mites in her pocket. Said, Lord, it's all I got. I really wish I could give more, and probably even kind of turned a little bit, make sure, trying not to almost be embarrassed of herself, Can't believe this is all I got to give, but Lord, you know my heart. I'm giving the best I can. Jesus looked and said, that woman's gave more than all the rest of them. Brother Branham said it this way, and I'm bringing this home real quick. Many people get discouraged and they think they don't have nothing to do with it. The problem is you're trying to do something big instead of doing the little things you're supposed to be doing. You know, and the older you get, the more you realize the things that really do matter. And I'm not even that old. I understand that, brother, sister. But I'm beginning to, like we said earlier, I'm beginning to appreciate that my legs still work. That I still have a voice. That I still can raise my hands. I can still testify. I can still visit people. God's blessed me enough financially. I can pay for your meal sometimes. I like to be able to do that. You understand what I'm saying? And God might have you in a place to where all you get to do is visit a widow woman. You think, well, I don't do nothing. Well, it's because you ain't doing it. Right. Anybody tell you, you get somebody up there that don't have no... You know, worst place, I think, it's not a prison, it's a nursing home. Whew. That's the most oppressive place I've ever been to in my life.
That's for sure.
And you want to know why? Every single person, I remember Brother Cam's, we went there and we had little services for him. Every single time, what was their complaint? Nobody comes and sees me. Hallelujah. Well, that's the pastor's job. I only got so many hours in a week, brother, sister. And Sister Violet just did the memory verse. Really? That's your job. I'm supposed to be able, and I know things are permissive. God will work it all out. But a minister is supposed to give himself continually to the Word of God in prayer. And you all are supposed to take care of them things.
That's right.
That's the Scriptures, brother, sister. And if we'd all take that responsibility and say, amen. Amen. Now, let me do my part. Sure, nobody sees it. Somebody did, though.
Amen.
Somebody did see it. And you know what? Somebody will appreciate it. Some of you all know, I guarantee you've already thought of them. I said, man, it has been a while since I've seen them. I bet they haven't had anybody talk to them in a while. Why don't you go do it?
Sure.
Say, why, brother? Why? Because you got eternity on the mind. Especially when you know that person's not even saved.
Yeah.
You just sit there and let them go down to the devil's hell and never even give your voice one time. Not your voice going there and blast them all day, tell them how bad they are. I'm talking about mama, grandma, papa, whatever. I love you. What about Jesus? I know you believe him, but why aren't you serving him?
Right.
Hallelujah. That's what the token's all about, brother, sister. It was given to you as a power. God has invested a power in you to go out in there and give salvation.
Amen.
We're thinking, wait on God to give salvation. Where did you get it from? A man testified to you.
Amen.
A woman testified to you. That's how you heard about it. The eternal life moves through the body. How do I know that, brother? I got blessedness. I'm in the body of Christ. I'm free of sin, and I can preach to others. Come to freedom in sin. Freedom from sin, just the same as I did. How? I got water waiting right here for you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Never let the message change from this token. The seals have been opened for the point of you to recognize you're a son of God. That was the whole reason.
Amen.
You say, how can that be all it is? Why do you think the prophet said, you're looking way over time and that's why you're missing it?
Amen.
He said, I thought it was humble. Stay humble, be humble. He said, but I never thought until now what that really meant. Now I see it. He said, there ain't about a handful of people here. I can count them on my hands that even understand what I was talking about. Why? Like, oh man, this is going to be such revelatory. Oh man, we're going to be able to up one all of our buddies now.
Sure.
When really it was finding, I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
Nothing I ever did. He chose me. He elected me. And I can live in a state free from sin.
Amen.
I can wake up in the morning and make a mistake. And I'm not saying haphazard. You don't want to do those things. We already, and that's the balance of it. I go preach a whole sermon on that. If you like to sin, you're not saved.
Amen.
Saint hates smears on his life.
Amen.
But you've got to be able to have the faith to say, Lord, I know I did this, but I know you already done thought about me. And I'm looking around as I think it was the prophet Isaiah said, who will go forth? And he was like, what are we going to do here? But he said, then the coals came and touched my lips. And it sanctified me. He says, here I am. Here am I.
Send me,
Lord. How can you be active for the kingdom as believing this for yourself? That I've got the blessedness, Lord. I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God has accepted me into His kingdom and He sent me to spread it to others.
Amen.
God bless you. How many believes that today?
I do.
Let's stand together today.
Praise God.
This blessedness. Amen.
Hey.
It's by faith. Key of C. Just a little chorus we sing here. Let's give God praise today. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
It's by faith that I it's by faith that I receive.
Hallelujah.
It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun.
Sing it again.
It's by faith.
Father, mother, husband, wife, children, even your own self, and all of you, Father, and I want you to take a moment. Don't worry about nobody else. Bring it down to just you. Be honest with yourself. Are you really living in the blessedness of being saved? Hallelujah. I'm not here to take it from you. I'm just asking you to be honest. You see yourself still in the wells of sin. Raise your hand and say, Father, forgive me. Look at those hands. God bless you. Don't be ashamed now. Don't look around, please. That wasn't me who said that. That was the Lord Jesus. He's here now. You've entered a different channel. Now, come on. Don't be haphazard in your approach. If you're only half sinner, you only get half salvation. If you can receive that, you know what, Lord, I've done messed up. And I lay it all there. I ain't good at all. But I'm accepting the one that is good. Hallelujah. I accept you, Lord. I accept your blood in my life. I accept. Take this away from me. Lord, I can't deliver myself. Deliver me. God bless you, my brothers. God bless you, sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Even Christians, you've just been blessed and you get blessings, but then you fall back off. And you say, Lord, I just want to get to that state of just staying blessed all the time. The state of blessing is because I know even though I have hard times, even though things fall apart, you're my rock in my life. And at the end of the day, I know I'm saved. I know I've been redeemed. I've received the Holy Ghost. There's anyone here that under the sound of my voice hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I challenge you right now to reach up and grab it by faith and say, Lord, that's my promise. I've repented of my ways, repented of all I am. I'm sorry, Lord. And I'm turning my heart away from those things. God, come fill me with power to walk a different path that I'll never even want to go back. Hallelujah. That's to you, my brother, my sister. I can't do that. It's purely between you and Christ. Hallelujah. But He's here. He's here now. He came here for you. Thank you, Jesus. Receive ye the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let that token be on each one, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. May the blood be all over the door, Lord. The death angel won't be able to pass. Hallelujah. They'll be safe from the judgments of God. Oh, glory. That's it. Just let that faith grapple onto that word. And don't you let go of it. Say, Lord, it's mine. It's mine. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I challenge you to obey the word and go to the waters. Go in faith. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask you. Oh, just keep right there. Some of you need to stay at that altar right there in your heart. It's not this place up here. It's not me praying for you. Some of you need to right there acknowledge that Jesus Christ has called you back to Himself. Hallelujah. And He's here to change you today. So have that altar call. There's those that need prayer. Any sick in body like to come for prayer. Hallelujah, sick in spirit. Was there anyone like to come for prayer? Would you come right now, please? Oh, glory, glory. I believe in the simplicity of the Word of God. The Bible says if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Is there any other sicknesses today? Let this encourage your faith. I believe each one's going to walk out well. Hallelujah, I've been seeing the pains of some of you. But I believe the Holy Spirit's here today to deliver you from that. Oh, glory. Glory, anyone else, would you come? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, worship Him with all your heart, my brother, my sister. Commit yourself to Him anew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Believe with all your heart. Thank you, Lord. This is a body ministry now. Each one of you a part of this right now. This isn't just my faith, but it's your faith. It's the brothers and sisters' faith. We're coming against the enemy. We're coming against you, Satan, today and all your sickness. We're coming with the Word of God. That's true. You're the liar, Satan, but the Word of God is true. When we believe together, if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. My brothers, my sisters out there, pray for these now. Pray in faith. Say, Lord, as Brother Andrew touches his hands, may the Holy Spirit lay His hands on each one. And may they walk out well today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe with all your heart. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, my brother, receive your healing today. In the name of Jesus Christ, your brother, receive your healing. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing, my brother. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing, my sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing, my brother. Power to every promise here today. Don't reserve yourself. Give all over to the Lord Jesus. All things. Let one thought of unbelief come. Let it all be faith. Thank you, Lord. It's yours, children. It's yours today. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Accept God's word today.
Lord, I believe.
And I give you praise for it, Lord. Between you and him, nail that stake down of the promise of God. That Lord, no matter what comes after this, no matter what I feel, no matter what I think, no matter how unblessed I am in my own eyes, Lord, let that blessedness of the Word of God, may it stake down right now in my life. If you've got salvation today, stake it down. And when this devil comes to take it, say, I've already got it, Satan. You just lie on yourself. Those you received the Holy Ghost, stake it down today. Stake it. Say, I'm not going to be the same because the Spirit of God is what changed me. Those of you that received healing today, stake it down. Say, Satan, it don't matter if I even feel the same way. I don't believe I have it anymore. But I'm well in the name of Jesus Christ. Now when you lay that stake down, rejoice in the presence of God. Rejoice as if it's already done because it is in God's eyes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory, we worship you, Lord. Thank you for joy. Thank you for peace, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord Jesus. Delivering us from the enemy.
Praise you,
thank you for the Holy Ghost today, Father.
Glory, glory to thy name, Father.
Oh, thank you, Lord, pulling all that unbelief out of our lives.
Praise thy name, dear Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise thy name.
Oh, is he worthy of praise, brother, sister?
Praise.
Hallelujah. Lift your voice to him.
Jesus.
Give him praise today for what he's done.
Thank you.
Believe it with all your heart.
Praise thy name, dear God.
Say, Lord, you gave me a voice. I'll use it for you. You gave me hands. I'll use them for you. You gave me my life.
Praise
I give my life back to service to
Jesus.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you believe it with all your heart today? Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. I feel like rejoicing in God's presence. I believe the victory's been won.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is how we get it, by faith. That's it.
Hallelujah.
You accept it, you receive it.
Praise
it's good as done.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Never give it back to the devil.
Thank
how many's
you.
Glad that God brought you out of the miry clay? Amen.
Amen.
I like to sing that. If you don't know it, Song 52. But he brought me out of the miry clay. My heart was distressed between Jehovah's dread from.
Praise thy name, Jesus.
Yeah, let's sing the verses too today. Hallelujah. Go ahead and clap when we get to the chorus, all right? Help me out today. Hallelujah. There, Dad.
Yep.
All right.
My heart was distressed. He's Jehovah's dread frown. And low in the pit where my sins drag me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay. Who tenderly brought me out to glory.
Give him praise now.
Oh, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. And he puts a song in my soul today. A song of praise. Hallelujah.
He placed me upon the strong rock. He
placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace.
Help me out now, give me praise.
Song was a new song of praise. By day and by night, in sweet tones I will raise. My heart's overflowing. I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer.
Yes, Lord, praise God.
Oh, he brought me out of the mighty land. He set my feet on the rock to stay. Today, a song of praise. Hallelujah.
I'll sing of his wonderful mercy.
I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness I'll see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad. Till many shall hear the truth. And
let's
the
praise him now.
Today, a song of
hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, lift your voice to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Take a moment, raise your hands to him. Just thank you for hearing your prayers today. Thank you for all he's done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Oh, I believe God's heard your prayers today, my brothers, my sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold on to that promise word. Brother, sister, I believe with all my heart, we're on the last turn. We're on the last pass. Soon we're going to go home. Be with Jesus forever. This ain't the time to quit. This is the time to run with all that's in you, to serve him with all that's in you, to never disbelieve him again. Believe him with all your heart. Serve with all your soul. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord. I'll let you be dismissed on this. We've got fellowship in my house today. Please come if you don't have any plans. And if you do, we'll just change them. I'm just kidding. Hey, have your. How many appreciates the Lord Jesus? I just love him so much. I love that he even knows what to do, brother, sister. I had a hard time even getting ready for service today. Headache all night. I don't know where that extra hour went because I never got it. But I'm so glad to just know his. I know it. I know without a shadow of doubt he spoke to you today. And he knows my heart's desire more than anything is to see every one of you ready to go. And I believe he's done that for us today. I believe with all my heart he's brought you where you need to be. Now don't give it back to the devil anymore. You hold on to that and say, Lord, it's mine. I'm one of yours. I believe soon you'll take me home. Amen. Let's just give him praise. It's song 258 if you don't know it. I'll let you be dismissed on this, but I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Is that your declaration? I will praise the Lord. Not I might, not I will if I feel good. I will praise him no matter what. Amen. No matter what tomorrow brings. Yeah, go ahead and take it today. God bless you, sons.
I will praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store.